Welcome to episode 72 of Gary King's Inconvenient Truth, where Gary presents video clips, stories I don't know are coming from my spontaneous and unrehearsed response. It's generated an extremely positive outcome from our audiences, which is sensational. Gary, what do you got for me today?
Oh, we're loaded. We're going to be doing a little Israel bashing for sure. And of course, you said it's a all deserved. Yeah, we've been doing good. Now, look, everyone, let's smash that like button if you like the show, because we've been getting about 90% approval rate. All right, here we go.
It's an extremely cynical moment for international law. It's an extremely devastating moment for the Palestinian people. There are rules under international law, and no matter which way you look at this, Israel is in violation of those rules.
As of the 7th of October, there is not one norm of international humanitarian law that has not been violated.
I never imagined that in my lifetime I would see a genocide taking place in real time before my eyes. The fact that it is being protected by most Western governments takes it to a level that I just never imagined would be possible.
Come to Israel with a single message. You're not alone. You are not alone.
Canada will always be a friend of Israel and defend its rights, including its right to exist.
And Israel has the right to defend itself. In fact, it has the duty to defend its people.
Israel hat das Recht, sich gegen diese barbarischen Angriffe zu verteidigen, seine Staatsbürger zu schützen und die Angreifer zu verfolgen.
La France reconnaît le droit d'Israël à se défendre et à protéger ses populations.
As your friend, we will stand with you in solidarity. We will stand with your people, and we also want you to win.
If one looks at our political leaders today and all of our mainstream politicians, they are the most mendacious, the most mediocre, the least talented group of politicians that I can remember during my almost 60 years on this earth. It is astonishing just how deeply corrupt materially and morally they are, because many of them, be it through donations to their political parties, donations to them personally, donations to their organizations like the Labour Friends of Israel, the Conservative Friends of Israel, the Democratic Friends of Israel, the Republican Friends of Israel, and the multiple and myriad other organizations like that, they provide an extremely good living for that person and for those political parties.
Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to having a thorough discussion about where everybody goes from here.
Every day, in the depth and breadth of cooperation.
The West is intimately involved in Israel's genocidal campaign in Gaza. For months, we have seen U.S. officials affirm time and again that there are no red lines for Israel, using exactly that language, when, of course, we know that international law draws many red lines. And yet the U.S. has come out in stark opposition, granting Israel full authority to proceed and to create as much death and destruction as it sees fit.
I'm shocked by the lack of action of the international community. I'm shocked by the hands raised by the U.S. ambassador in the Security Council voting against a ceasefire, vetoing a ceasefire. I'm shocked by the lack of action of principled states who need to take, a principled, concrete stand against this aberration and start thinking of sanctions.
What we've seen is that the laws of war are used against weaker parties, but if your ally is the United States, and if your ally can veto any Security Council resolution, and if your allies are the European states, then the chances that the ICC will bring you to justice are very, very slim. The International Court of Justice is a court that renders guilty the losers in a conflict. It is a court of the victors and a court that has double standards for the allies of the powerful and for those that it thinks of as its enemies.
The view that South Africa's submission to the International Court of Justice is some sort of anti-Semitic screed and blood libel? This is nonsense that you couldn't make up. And the nonsense that is being enunciated constantly, not just by the Israelis, but that is then parroted by the US government, the UK government, the German government, the French government, etc. And this is being done to defend the indefensible, to defend the slaughter of tens of thousands of innocent civilians, to defend attacks on health facilities, on residential homes, on places of worship, on places of work. We are seeing a genocide taking place in Gaza.
Well, truth of the matter is, if there weren't in Israel, we'd have to invent one. Truth of the matter is that I believe that as I went home and seen, got in trouble at the time, but it's true. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. You don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist.
It's the international.
There you go, Dr. Fetzer.
Of course, you don't have to be a Jew to be a Zionist. You don't have to be Jew to be a genocidal maniac. You don't have to be a Jew to support genocide. This is so disgusting, Gary, beyond belief, that these leaders of the European Union, of France, of Germany, of the UK, and of the United States, worst of all, should be supporting Israel in the slaughter of Palestinians, boggles the mind. This is the most disgusting, repulsive event of my lifetime. And I've been here for quite a while, since 1940. Nothing comes remotely close. And for this guy Netanyahu to parade around like he's some kind of savior of the world, this is perhaps the most evil figure on the face of Earth today, Gary. If anyone decided to be genocided, it would be he and his allies, including the guy who pretends to be the president of the United States. They are deserving of removal from the face of Earth because they are wreaking untold havoc, death, devastation, mass murder upon this planet Earth. We are going to be far better off when they are gone. We are all Palestinians now, Gary. We are all Palestinians now. Anyone not lacks a moral conscience and ordinary common human decency. This is a complete disgrace and absolutely intolerable. And even after the United States had demanded a ceasefire, the United States had been working effortlessly to undermine it, claiming it's only calling for when it's demanding. Totally different under international law. The United Nations demands are international law. And Israel is violating one after another, all human decency, the UN Charter, human rights, every decent principle known to man is being grotesquely violated, shattered, tattered, and torn by Israel in this ongoing genocide directed primarily at women and children, let there be no doubt. Gary, this is repulsive beyond words.
Well, there's more. The people trying to help them are actually being slaughtered.
But weeks after this video was filmed,
this is the beautiful, fragrant, aromatic rice that will be served today from Dinabala Kitchen. Thank you.
Zomi and six other colleagues were killed by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza.
I think we're still in shock. It's still very difficult.
Nate Mook is the former CEO of World Central Kitchen and hired Zomi in 2019.
Zomi was somebody from the moment you first meet her, he feels like your best friend. She has this huge smile on her face. But I think what also made Zomi so special is she just had this empathy for people, but she would talk to people, she would listen to them, she would hold their hands.
Now global pressure is mounting on Israel to investigate why those three clearly marked aid vehicles from the World Central Kitchen were targeted in an IDF airstrike. The aid group says the workers coordinated their movements with the Israeli military and were traveling in a three-car convoy in an area deemed safe after unloading Israeli military and were traveling in a three-car convoy in an area deemed safe after unloading more than 100 tons of food to this warehouse brought to Gaza. The convoy was then struck three times.
Humanitarian and civilians should never be paying the consequences of war. This is a basic principle of humanity.
Gaza has been on the brink of famine, lack of food, water, and medicines. 96 aid workers have been killed since the start of the war, which began after Hamas brutally killed 1,200 people in Israel and took more than 130 people hostage on October 7th. The seven aid workers killed on Monday came from all over the world. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu calling this incident a tragic case and initially saying, quote, it happens in war. His own, including 2,000-pound bombs, which have been connected to mass casualties. Nearly 33,000 Palestinians have been killed since October, according to the Hamas-run health ministry.
We lost the sound, Gary.
Yeah, there's no sound right now. There you go. Yeah, they're just pointing out stuff without sound. At 33.
Gary, they're deliberately targeting aid workers. This was all a setup, the idea of arranging, granting them permission, then taking them out. Three cars, three strikes. They got them all. We have other footage of four young men just walking along a roadway, hit by drones, killed two initially. One tried to call away. The other walked. They then hit the one who crawled away. Then the one who walked took him out. They were totally innocent, just young men walking back to see what remained of their homes. These are evil. You talk about the foul stench. That goes with Benjamin Netanyahu, wherever he is present. There's that foul stench. Evil pervades Israel. And the citizens remain enthusiastic about the slaughter of Palestine. I say, not only as Ralph Wild explained to the International Criminal Court, is there no legal justification for the existence of Israel, the world would be better off without it. To hell with Israel. It deserves the worst possible fate a nation could endure at the righteous hand of the moral citizens of the world. They have discounted themselves, discredited themselves. They no longer belong among the community of human beings on the face of this earth. If Israel were to be wiped out tomorrow, I would not shed a tear, and the world would rejoice.
All right. They're not just fooling around there. Actually bombing in Syria.
Emergency workers scaled rubble inside Iran's embassy compound in Syria. after a suspected bombing by Israeli warplanes on Monday. Tehran said the strike killed 7 military advisors, including 3 senior commanders. The target, according to Iranian state media, was top Revolutionary Guards commander Mohammad Reza Zahedi. He had been a senior commander in Iran's elite Quds force, the Corps' overseas arm, according to the guards. Iran's ambassador to Syria, Hossein Akbari, said Tehran's response would be harsh. Syria's foreign minister condemned the attack. Its state media cited a military source saying Israel launched the attack from the occupied Golan Heights and that its air defense system shot down some of the missiles. The strike appeared to signal an escalation in Israel's war against Iran's regional proxies. Israel has long targeted Iranian military installations in Syria, as well as the proxies. Monday's attack marked the first time Iran's embassy compound itself had been hit. Since the attack on Israel nearly 6 months ago by Palestinian group Hamas, which is also backed by Iran, Israel has ramped up strikes in Syria against Iran's guards, as well as Hezbollah, the Tehran-backed Lebanese armed group. They both support Syria's government of President Bashar al-Assad. The White House said it was still looking into reports about the strikes, while State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller said the goal is still to prevent any possible escalation of conflict.
But of course, we are always concerned about anything that would be escalatory or cause an increase in conflict in the region.
Israel typically does not comment on its attacks in Syria and declined to do so on Monday, although it also said on Monday it had stopped weapons from being smuggled into the West Bank from Iran.
Okay, Dr. Fetzer, they just want to quit stirring up.
Well, of course, this is all predicated on the assumption that Hamas actually attacked Israel on October 7th when John Hankey has done a brilliant expose now you can find online. That was an IDF. It was a Bibi Netanyahu. It was a classic false flag to justify the slaughter of the Palestinians, grossly disproportional. Even if you took it at face value, the 1,200 Israelis allegedly having been slaughtered, most of whom were killed by Apache helicopters manned by Israeli gunners, 1,200. We're up to over 30,000, most of women and children, 30,000. Now, having come under tremendous assault, having found to be committing genocide by the United Nations, Netanyahu believes his way out is to expand the war. This attack on the consulate of Iran was a direct attack on Iran. Consulates and embassies around the world are located on land that belongs to the nations they represent. This was done with a smart missile. It was a very precise hit. Killed 2 Iranian generals and 5 or 6 others who are really the military brains of Iranian operations in Syria in support of Hezbollah, for example. But Israel had no right. This was another violation of international law, but of course it pales in significance to the ongoing slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza. Bibi wants Iran to respond. The CIA has been egging it on. They've even put out phony declarations that, according to their intel reports, Iran's going to respond and attack Israel within 48 hours. Well, that was many hours since. It didn't happen. But they're egging it on. And I guarantee you, if there should be a conflict breakout between Iran and Israel, while the U.S. may come to support Israel, Russia most assuredly will support Iran. And because Iran has 3,000 ballistic missiles that are capable of precise targeting within a meter of their target, and thousands upon thousands of drones, which are so good that that Russia has been buying Iranian drones by the bushel basket, Israel is not going to be happy with the consequences, and their nuclear stockpile is not going to save them. The sooner Israel is brought to account, the better. Not just for the people of Palestine, but for the world's population at large. They are a cancer on planet Earth. And like cancers in human beings, must be excised lest they destroy the host. Israel has displayed its monstrous character, the real nature of Israelis, and it is horrific. Let this be done. Israel not only has no legal right to exist, it has no moral right to exist, and it has totally discredited itself and shown its true colors, deserving of the most severe punishment that could be inflicted upon a nation by the rest of the world. Let it happen. Soon.
All right,
now.
This is the last of our Israeli clips, montage.
Well, not everybody wants an end to the conflict. Let's be honest. Definitely the Israeli government doesn't want an end to the slaughter, to the massacre. They don't want an end. The U.S. government, the Biden administration, they don't want to see an end to it. Tony Blinken, the top diplomat in the United States, Secretary of State, a partisan, a biased party in all of this, he doesn't want to see an end to the slaughter. If any of these people genuinely wanted to see an end to it, they would have been calling for it 3 months ago. If human life is what they valued, if human life is what they cared about, all human life, they would have already been demanding that it end. And the U.S. is in a position to end it by cutting off bombs, ammunition, and bullets, armaments, all of the support that they're providing Israel. By cutting that off, it's over. It all comes to a screeching halt. So the U.S. is not an external party. They're not remote. They're not neutral. They're co-belligerent. And right now, they are looking at severe legal implications for continuing to support an active genocide. The same goes with the British government. The same goes with the German government. The same goes with the French government. The same goes with the European Union and the other countries that are active parties to a genocide. They can now be held accountable. The door is now open for actions against all these people. There's no statute of limitations. This could go on for years, decades, in fact. It's very clear that many people have been duped or coerced or intimidated, or they just have no real understanding of the issue, to immediately throw all of their unflagging support behind Israel as they massacred innocent Palestinians in Gaza rapaciously on an absolute industrial scale, the likes of which we have not seen in this period of time in the modern era. More bombs, more explosive material, more incendiary material has been dropped on Gaza than on Hiroshima. Some say the combination of both Hiroshima and Nagasaki. What is the difference, I'm going to ask you listening, what is the difference between two atomic bombs that wreak untold devastation, kill untold number of civilians? What is the difference between doing this in one day and stretching it out over months? Is there really a difference? The devastation is the same. The death toll is going to be the same. We haven't even reaped the unfortunate backlash of the excess deaths that will occur in Gaza due to a lack of medical care, clean water, food that is being actively blockaded by the Israeli government and even by Israeli citizens going to block aid deliveries into Gaza. That's how crazy and insidious this whole situation has become. This has to end. And the price that's going to be paid for those people who've been backing it, cheering for it, rationalizing that these aren't civilians that are dying. These are Hamas supporters.
Okay.
Well, of course, that's a very nice summing up. In the International Court of Justice, that we saw this Ralph Wilde in a brief clip there. It's just a great tragedy for all of humanity, and that this should continue to this day with the support of the nations of France, of Germany, the European Union, and worst of all, the United States. Bear in mind, the United States has held Iran responsible for the actions of Hezbollah because Iran had been supplying weapons to Hezbollah. Well, by the same principle, the United States is responsible for the genocide in Gaza because the United States had been providing the bombs, the weapons to slaughter them by means of the Israeli deployment. The United States stand damned in the eyes of the world. The United States has lost its moral standing among nations. The United States will never be viewed again the same. It has become, along with its gallant ally in the Middle East, the object of hatred. We are the two most despised nations in the world, and we earned it. We earned it. We deserve it. We have sold our soul for a mess of pottage. The world will never be the same. The end must come to the slaughter. The question is, will that only happen after every Palestinian has been killed or displaced from the lands of Palestine, which are their precious legacy, by the most monstrous government ever seen on the face of earth, the Israeli government under Benjamin Netanyahu? Unreal, disgraceful, disgusting, tragic, pathetic. The world must act to bring an end to this travesty, and it must happen now.
Okay, that comes to the end of our Israeli montage. I really wanted to get your take on this particular subject, Dr. Fetzer.
Just keep watching this area here. Yeah, watch the fire and the molten metal spewing off as the bridge collapses. Watch. Goes along. Watch. See that? Look. Little explosions. Okay? Why is a bridge that's been hit by a ship over there having explosions over here? Keep watching. Let's keep watching it. Look, bang, explosion, explosion, both at the top and the bottom, explosion, explosion again. More smoke coming out of it. Look, on fire as it's going down. There we go, right there, on fire. Ready? Look, here's the smoke in the air here. Keep watching. Look, watch it again. Watch. Watch here. Look, fire, 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 fire. See? Steam as it hits the water. Funny. Look, more fire. More fire. Loads of fire. They demolished the bridge, people. Wake the fuck up. Distraction story again.
Okay.
Well, I don't want to suggest the guy's a moron, but he hasn't really given this sufficient thought. There are electrical cables that transit the entire bridge. When the cables are broken, they set off sparks and electricity. Of course, this was a deliberate sabotage of that, I have no doubt. But it was all brought about by the ship being, it appears, remotely controlled and taking a massive turn, Had it simply continued on its trajectory, when it lost power, it would have sailed under the bridge with no harm, no damage, no foul. And power could have been restored. Instead, it's remotely controlled to make a dramatic, almost a U-turn, Gary, in order to hit the bridge. And the consequences that followed are devastating. Laura Logan has described this as a brilliant strategic strike against the United States. This is one of our most important ports. And it's out of commission now for how many months at a vital time. We had an immediate tweet from Ukrainians, may have been on Telegraph, saying you're going to get more of the same if you don't send that money to Ukraine. Send more money or more of this is going to happen. I think that is the explanation. And it doesn't require a lot of deep thought. And the fact that Biden immediately moved to cover all the expenses was intended to preempt insurance companies allocating degrees of responsibility so there could be proportional responsibility for compensation, because in the course of their investigation, they would have discovered this whole thing was by design. The Biden admin already knows. They're seeking to cover it up. This is just one more example of the extent to which the American people are being betrayed by the Biden administration. And of course, we know it's not even the real Joe who appears to have died in 2017. We have no idea who's wearing the rubber mask and pretending to be the president of the United States, which allows the scoundrels behind the scene to do whatever they want to do and blame it on Biden. And since he's not even alive, there's no one to blame. This is as irresponsible and reckless a situation as we've ever been in here in the United States. And I wish I could say I can foresee its termination. But if and when that's going to happen, ain't obvious, sad to say.
All right, it's not often that any state moves to ban chemtrails, so let's see what this is about.
But I wanted to address the vitamin D, and having gone on to PubMed, that's kind of the premier medical hub for information. And so one of their articles dated 2020, insufficient sun exposure has become a real health problem. The article states, studies in the past decade indicate that insufficient sun exposure may be responsible for 340,000 deaths in the United States, 480,000 deaths in Europe, and an incidence of increased amount of breast cancer, colorectal cancer, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, metabolic syndrome, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's and autism, and also type 1 diabetes. Vitamin D has long been considered a principal mediator of beneficial effects of sun exposure. However, oral vitamin D supplementation has not been convincingly shown to prevent the above conditions. Thus, serum vitamin D as an indicator of health status basically shows that the effects of the sun outweigh basically taking a supplementation, although supplementation is obviously what you do if you can't get enough sun. And basically the article recommends that you at least try to get 5 to 30 minutes of sun exposure a day.
Hey, Dr. Fetzer.
Well, of course, sun exposure is good for you. I mean, we are an evolved species. And if exposure to sun weren't adaptive and beneficial, we wouldn't have evolved. I mean, the sun is omnipresent. And it's just ludicrous to try to circumvent the benefits. I mean, it's counterproductive. But there are all kinds of interventions by man that have deleterious rather than beneficial effects on the survival and reproduction of the human species. Witness the whole COVID vax genocide. I mean, the globalists are going all out to reduce the world's population. And while I believe the Ukrainian conflict, which taken the lives of 500,000 Ukrainian soldiers, and what's going on in Israel today do have the effect of diminishing the world's population, they're operating on a far grander scale. My best estimate is perhaps as many as 1 billion have died worldwide as a consequence of the vax. The pandemic was fake. There's no increase in death in any age group as a consequence of the pandemic. It's all been as a result of the vax, where the evidence is staggering, simply overwhelming. And I discourage anyone from even thinking of taking a booster, that would be the dumbest thing you could do. The evidence is overwhelming. Taking boosters multiplies your prospect of death or other deleterious effects. Multiplies. The UK Public Health Service records make it absolutely clear. Do yourself a favor. Don't kill yourself by getting another jab. And if you are able to influence anyone else, forget it. Don't let yourself be played. Because I guarantee you, it's not going to do you any good and may bring about the death of people you love and care about. A word to the wise.
All right, something completely different. This was submitted by Kathy, and she has been hearing, and I have too. It's a term in the English language called yeah, no. Okay.
Yeah means yeah. No means no. No, yeah means sure. Yeah, no means no. Yeah, no for sure means yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah means no. Yeah, no, yeah means I'm willing to do it. No, yeah, no means there's no way I'm doing it.
Yeah, I've been hearing people say yeah, no quite often in my music studio and just out in the public. So have you heard that yet?
Well, not a lot, but I think this is a very appropriate little clip, and it nails it right down in terms of colloquial speech. There was a famous story about a philosopher then at Columbia with whom I actually studied my third year graduate school by the name of Sidney Morganbesser, who was participating in a discussion with a linguist who said that while people use negatives, you know, to assert opposition, that you never use positives to assert opposition. He said, yeah, 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 meaning, of course.
Right? No, no, no.
There was a Morganbesser retort. I mean, it's consistent with what we have here. Kathy picked a good one. I think it's very straightforward and well explained by the clip, Garrett. Good one.
Awesome. All right. I've been hearing more about this eclipse than I care to mention, but we're going to go ahead and let InfoWars give us a little bit of their take.
The solar eclipse on April 8th is becoming a major event. The National Guard is being deployed, and the people are being advised to have 2 weeks of food and to fill their fuel tanks. This could all be explained due to the fact that tens of thousands of visitors are expected along the path of totality. But many people believe that they could be preparing for possible earthquakes due to the Devil Comet aligning with the April 8th eclipse, and due to the fact that in 1811, a comet also appeared in the skies during a solar eclipse on the same path and was followed by the biggest earthquakes in American history. Known as the New Madrid earthquakes, around 10,000 earthquakes occurred in just 3 months' time, the biggest being measured at 8.8 magnitude. They were the most devastating series of earthquakes in recorded history. But it was a different comet. And while some claim that a solar eclipse can trigger earthquakes, this scenario seems unlikely. This eclipse season is, however, a very rare event. The recent eclipses in August of 2017 and October of 2023, along with the upcoming one on April 8th, forms an Aleph and a Tav over the United States. The Aleph and Tav are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. These eclipses mark the end of the great year, a 26,000 year period that starts anew with the dawning of Aquarius and a new golden age. Manly P. Hall wrote that high-level Masons designed America for a peculiar and particular purpose, a secret destiny to bring about a new Atlantis or a new world order, wherein a king descended of a divine race will rule over all. In rituals, this king is symbolized as Apollo, Horus, or Nimrod, the father of Freemasonry, and is thought to be a descendant of the biblical Nephilim, or the Sumerian Anunnaki. According to Thomas Horn, this will happen in 2025, which corresponds to several documents published by intelligence agencies, such as Global Governance 2025, Global Trends 2025, and the 2025 Deagle Forecast on World Population. NASA is notorious for performing Masonic rituals based on the Egyptian mystery schools, Apollo being the same character as Horus, Sirius representing Isis, and Atlantis being the new golden age they hope to restore. And during the eclipse on April 8th, NASA will fire three rockets named after Apep, the Egyptian serpent god, whose goal was to devour Ra, the sun. And when the sun reemerges after 3 minutes of darkness, it will be likened to the rebirth of Horus, their new king of the Golden Age. CERN, known for practicing occult rituals at a statue of Shiva, the Hindu god who symbolizes death, destruction, and the end of an age, will be firing up their Large Hadron Collider to full power during the solar eclipse. And Israel, who is in the midst of committing genocide, is preparing to sacrifice a red heifer, a ritual sacrifice to prepare them for taking back the Temple Mount.
Red heifers, to be precise. Some Jews and Christians believe they're the key to rebuilding the historic Jewish temple in Jerusalem and to beckoning the Messiah. To understand, you have to go back nearly 2,000 years when the ancient Romans destroyed the last temple in the city. To rebuild it, these believers point to the Bible's Book of Numbers. It commands the Israelites to sacrifice a red heifer without defect or blemish and that has never been under a yoke. Only then can the temple rise again. Those sacred cows were showcased in Washington at a recent prayer gathering. Many evangelicals believe these red heifers will usher Christ's second coming.
And we need the Messiah to come, right? So for me, the red heifer is red for the blood of Jesus Christ.
A massive altar already awaits, where the heifers are to be burned. According to some believers, the ceremony needs to be performed right here on the Mount of Olives, looking directly into where the temple once stood. But something else now stands in its place.
Once they forcibly take the Temple Mount away from billions of Muslims worldwide, it will predictably thrust the world into the peak of chaos that these secret societies have been designing for centuries. And their plan is to bring order out of this chaos, with their divine king to rule over the world. But these are just rituals, and fear is an illusion. We can always choose love. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
What do you make of that, Dr. Fetzer?
Well, I've seen quite a few Reese videos. I think they're generally pretty good. And as far as reporting on religious beliefs, however bizarre and absurd they may be, such as red heifers and sacrifices, which frankly, as an agnostic, recognizing it's impossible to even prove the existence or the non-existence of God, I recognize the role of religion in society largely, actually, as Marx suggested, an opiate for the working man to believe that he's going to receive justice in an afterlife in order to endure injustice in this life. Believe me, as a student of the history of science as well as the philosophy, solar eclipses are perfectly predictable celestial phenomena. They have no specific causal consequences other than to cast a shadow on Earth. Specific regions, most are not even going to participate or be able to see the full eclipse of the sun that occurs because the moon is in between sun and those portions of Earth where the shadow is being cast, and all this, you know, well, anything could be attributed to anything as a sign, you know, an omen by interpretation, by introducing a story. There's no reason whatsoever to believe a solar eclipse per se has any intrinsic significance in terms of events that transpire on Earth other than casting a shadow. So there's a certain degree of science involved here that makes it clear this is an unusual, of course, meaning statistically it happens highly infrequently, but not causally significant event in terms of the affairs of man. But globalists and others, scientists, zealots, and the like, can, of course, use that date, which they know is coming, as a trigger for events on Earth that may have untold consequences. So I think Greg did a responsible job of reporting, but I'd say, you know, bear in mind which parts are science and which parts are politics involving, of course, in this case, religion, which is among the most powerful forces that affect human relations, and where there's no end of mischief the Israelis could perpetrate by seeking to take the Temple Mount and destroying the third holiest site in Islam, which could easily lead to a world war of Muslims against Jews. And frankly, I do not believe the Jews would thrive and survive. Thanks for that too, Gary, particularly given the timing, since the eclipse is so imminent.
Absolutely. Okay, speaking of religion, Trump's selling Bibles.
Partnering with my very good friend Lee Greenwood, who doesn't love his song God Bless the USA, in connection with promoting the God Bless the USA Bible. This Bible is the King James Version and also includes our founding father documents, yes, the Constitution, which I'm fighting for every single day very hard to keep Americans protected, also the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this God Bless the USA Bible, and it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have, you have to have it for your heart, for your soul. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Independence and the Pledge of Allegiance are all part of this God Bless the USA Bible, and it's just very important and very important to me. I want to have a lot of people have it. You have to have it for your heart, for your soul. Many of you have never read them and don't know the liberties and rights you have as Americans and how you are being threatened to lose those rights. It's happening all the time. It's a very sad thing that's going on in our country, but we're going to get it turned around. This Bible is a reminder that the biggest thing we have to bring back America and to make America great again is our religion. Religion is so important. It's so missing, but it's going to come back, and it's going to come back strong, just like our country is going to come back strong. When they built America on Judeo-Christian values, now that foundation is under attack, perhaps as never before.
The term Judeo-Christian is an oxymoron. The two are diametrically opposed, as Judaism vehemently rejects the Messiah in Jesus Christ. The two are not compatible. Therefore, it is a misleading and muddying term that will lead people to go astray and turn to the Jews, the ones who possess the oracles of God. This is how it's going to be presented. And you're going to have your morality legislated to you. That's their idea of religion coming back into the world. A one world moral religion based on not Judeo-Christian values, but on the Antichrist spirit.
The legions of Americans asking to make America great again. The legions of Americans, the legions of Americans. There you have it. Let's make America pray again. God bless you and God bless the USA.
All right.
several comments here. I mean, the man's a marketing genius. I mean, this is a brilliant move, especially when many believe that Trump has too much sympathy for Israel, that he's gone too far in moving the American embassy to Jerusalem, declaring the Golan Heights to be part of Israel, unfunding the UN refugee organization supporting the Palestinians, even calling on Israel to finish the job, which some are interpreting as meaning complete the slaughter in the fastest time possible, an uncharitable interpretation, the alternative being you got to end this peace because you're losing the support of the world, which is most certainly true. That's the first point I'd make. Number two, this additional commentary about Judeo-Christian values and so forth, I didn't care for that. Here's the reason. The Bible, and here he is promoting a Bible, even though he may even be Jewish. I mean, there's some arguments that claim that Trump has converted to Judaism, has an Old and a New Testament. The King James Version combines both. The Old Testament is a Judaic tradition, the New Testament, the Christian. So if you're talking about biblical values, you're talking about a Judeo-Christian tradition. And while it's technically correct that Judaism does not even recognize Christ as a prophet, unlike Islam, which does, I think that was really below the belt. I don't approve of it. On the other hand, I do say the man, you know, with The Apprentice and in other ways, I return to emphasize, he's a political and marketing genius. And whatever reservations I may have about Trump, but you got to admire his ingenuity. I mean, I think that's going to be very beneficial to Trump politically, because it suggests, without actually saying, that he is a Christian, where I think that's very much open to doubt. But whether he is or is not, there's no question in my mind that Donald Trump can do far more to get to right the ship of state, to get us back to where we ought to be, to secure the borders, to make us energy independent, to give us a thriving economy, to crack down on crime and lawlessness that have been promoted by the Biden administration. I have no doubt everyone who cares about America should be supporting this man for president of the United States. In spite of his flaws, he is, in my judgment, by far our best hope for the salvation of this nation, and therefore I endorse him.
Yeah, quick question, Dr. Fetzer. What do you think about Joe Biden calling Easter Sunday Trans Visibility Day or something?
Well, it's ludicrous, Gary. You could have had a clip about it. I mean, it was completely ludicrous. Lunatic. Babylon B was saying, how the Biden administration was upset that Jesus came back to life on the Trans Day of Visibility. I mean, Biden himself said he'd never done it. He hadn't signed it. And I have no doubt he didn't sign it because the background, he's just a puppet. He's just a face man. He's just out there on the stage, and it's a guy wearing a rubber mask. So he had that in the works. Didn't contemplate how it would go down, and it's been a disaster. I would say if you juxtapose Trans Day of Visibility with Trump promoting the King James Bible, Trump wins overwhelmingly because it's a big plus for Trump, and Trans Day is a huge negative for Biden, which is one of the reasons I believe they cannot move forward with Biden on the ticket for the 2024 election. Nobody is going to vote for him. The latest polls I've seen, Gary, have Biden with 8% support. 8% support. And those appear to be real numbers. So they got to swap him out. Some say June 13th, he's going to step down. Kamala may move up. They'll bring in a VP, I think it's going to be Gavin Newsom. Kamala will step out and he'll bring in Michelle as his running mate. And we'll find out if the world is prepared to vote for a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill to be vice president or even president of the United States. Stand by, Gary. There's a lot to happen between now and November.
Yeah, I've heard some low poll numbers, but 8%. Oh, my goodness. All right. It's been such a serious show. Let's go ahead and lighten up a little bit with DC Dave. What's the problem with the press?
What's the problem with the press? Why are we in such a mess? No group of folks was ever less devoted.
I think that's wonderful. He does a lot of stuff like this. I think he's terrific and really represents the search for truth. I admire him beyond words. He's an expert on the death of James Forrestal, Secretary of War at the time. I believe it was thrown out of a window at Bethesda Naval Hospital because he wasn't going wrong with the Israeli agenda. So I like that, Gary. And of course, he had lots of clips from Boston bombing, from the Nice truck attack, where they did have mannequins in the street and pig's blood. He's on top of this. And I, as a fan of the Everly Brothers, who have long since lost their voice, I like that DC Dave is continuing to sing out, using them as his prop vehicle. It's well done, Gary. Well done. And I congratulate. I'm going to write him and tell him how much I like it.
Well, guess who put the clips together, all the visuals? Me.
Did you, Gary? Did you?
Yeah, all of these.
Send that to me. Send that to me and I'll send it to him.
Yeah, see, DC Dave sends me the audio and even on the USS Liberty, that clip, all of these DC Dave clips, I'm the one that put the video up.
So. Oh, I love it, Gary. Congratulations. Well done.
Feather in my hat. You have time for one more or should we close it
sure.
up?
One more.
Okay. This is, I've been doing this so long, I even forgot that I had done this. So this is a clip of myself when I was a truther on Patriot Radio.
Hi, this is Gary King. I would like to, what I believe is a important information concerning the fires in California. I just cannot believe what's going on, and there's a simple technology that's available. Now, Jason Boss had a video a day or so ago saying, how do we stop the fires now? What I would like to suggest is that we open up the Yellow Pages, our Google weathermodification.com, and I'm going to show you exactly what I'm talking about. All right, if you go to Google and type in weathermodification.com, this is going to come up. Right about here, we have cloud seeding. But before that, let's take a look and view all clients and projects that this company has been involved with. I'm not saying that this company is the bad guys. They may be the heroes that we need, because making it rain is as old as at least the 1950s or 60s, which I will prove in just a minute. All right, so if you'd like to take a look at all these clients and projects, Illinois Weather Modification, Naval Service Warfare Center, North Dakota Thunderstorm Project, New Mexico Blast, Burst Light and Stratus Transmission Project, Oklahoma, Santa Barbara County Weather Agency, right there. They're just very much right here. Okay, so let's go back and check out the cloud seeding project, and they list this. What I'm saying is this technology exists, and the people of California must insist that this be used to put out the fires over California. Okay, so let's take a look here. Okay, it says cloud seeding useful in the following application: increasing precipitation. Now, this is a short video. This is for the most elementary research can find all of this. And I'm just going to take 1 second to show you how this is nothing new as well. I'm sure a lot of people have heard about China manipulating the weather during the Olympic Games. All right, here's a story from The Guardian. China's weather modifications work like magic. Okay. Chinese Air Force claimed today that the biggest weather modification operation in the country's history cleared the skies over Tiananmen Square just in time for the National Day Parade. All right, you're going to have to do your own research on all this kind of stuff. I'm going to play one more video, and then you're just going to have to take it into your own hands to confront the people involved that can and have the ability to use cloud seeding to rain out these fires in California.
It lays the predicate and the foundation for the development of a weather satellite that will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer and ultimately to control the weather. And he who controls the weather will control the world. That will permit man to determine the world's cloud layer. And he who controls the weather will control the world.
All right. We're going to take one more quick look at Operation Popeye, and then we're going to end the recording, and it's really up to you. All right, this is nothing new. Operation Popeye used to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail and extend the monsoon season. There's Ben Livingston, who openly admitted that he saw a small cloud out in the distance, took a small packet, looked like sugar, and seeded the clouds. And the next day, there were 14 inches of rain over the Ho Chi Minh Trail. At this point, we need you to take on the responsibility, because it's your state, it's your area. We've been taken out so many times here in New Orleans with hurricanes and et cetera. So do your research, and for God's sakes, demand that cloud seeding be used in California. This is Gary.
Okay, I forgot I did that. But that was 5 years ago.
Well, of course, you're on the right track, but the irony is they're using high-tech technology, directed energy weapon, to bring about these fires, whether it's Lahaina or Paradise. They're manipulating the weather in Acapulco. They're bringing about earthquakes around the world. So you're on top of it, Gary. The technology can be used for good or for bad. And I'm sorry to say that, you know, they're being used primarily today to advance evil objectives. So I commend you for your ongoing efforts to expose what's really going on. Yes, they could have seeded the clouds and made a big difference for the California fires, but the objective was to let the fires burn. So, of course, they didn't do it. But I commend your efforts to expose what's really going on, Gary, as you continue to do to this day.
All right, you and I together. All right, this has been Inconvenient Truth number 72. Dr. Fetzer, I appreciate your absolute spot-on commentary on the show. I really do.
My pleasure, Gary.
All right, so if you like the show, hit us a thumbs up. Let's go. All right, we'll see you next time.